Hey, good morning, Rev City. How are you? Come on, wasn't the presence of the Lord good this morning? I just sensed a breakthrough today. Did anyone else sense a breakthrough in the joy of the Lord and a breakthrough in just God's presence here? So good to be with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to, let's see, where do I want you to go? How about Matthew chapter 10 is the first place we'll stop? And just so grateful to be with you. Just so proud of Pastor Eli. Brought an amazing message last week. So thankful for the day off that he allowed me to have just to focus on resting and being with my family last week for Thanksgiving. How was Thanksgiving? Did you have a good one? I don't know how it's possible, but you guys look thinner today than you did before Thanksgiving. But I trust that you had a great time. And man, this really is between Thanksgiving and family and turkey and pie and the Thanksgiving outreach and the children's holiday shop and the approach of Christmas, this really is the most wonderful time of the year, amen? Someone ought to write a song about that. Who just said that? It's the most wonderful, come on, join in. Time of the year. Who knows the next line? There'll be, goodness gracious. All right, excited to just continue our mini series, Live to Give. We're talking about the family values of Rev City. And one of the family values is that we live to give. Come on, say that with me this morning. We live to give. And I just want to read that value to you before we dig into this morning. And that value is written in our vision book that you can pick up out there if you don't have one or haven't had a chance to get one yet. It says this: we live to give. Giving is a Christ-like lifestyle. We generously give forgiveness, mercy, grace, love, time, whatever is needed to reveal Jesus to others. Look at a neighbor and say, whatever is needed. Regarding finances, we faithfully tithe as the starting point for extravagantly supporting and building God's kingdom through our local church. We live to give, and it affects the way we give in our finances, but it's about so much more than that. Giving is the verb of the Bible. Giving is the verb of the Bible. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever shall believe upon him shall not perish but have eternal life. Giving is the verb of the Bible. Had God simply loved us but not been willing to give, we would still be lost in our transgressions and sin. It was the gift of God, the activation of giving, of sending, of sowing Jesus into this world to come and pay the price and the penalty for sin, to lay down his life in sacrifice in a way that none of us could do because he was blameless and perfect. It was the gift of God that was the response of the love of God that made the difference of God in our lives. Amen? Giving is the verb of the Bible. We are called to be a generous people. We are called to be givers. We are called to live to give. God so loved the world, he gave. And Jesus, whom the Father gave, came then as this amazing example of radical generosity. Sacrifice and generosity that carried the anointing and the power of God to change our lives, to redeem us back to God, to pay the price for sin. God is a generous God, and we as his people are called to be a generous people. Matthew 10, there we are, Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8 says this: as you go, proclaim the message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now this is the lifestyle that's supposed to follow you and I as believers. As you go, everything that God's called you to, as you go, your family, your community, your school, your workplace, as you go, proclaim this message. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, the kingdom of God is here. And because God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, there's this life that's available to us that allows us and empowers us and gives us the authority and the strength to do these things in the name of Jesus. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who are sick, drive out demonic spirits and darkness. And he says, freely you have received, freely give. He's called us to be generous. What he's doing in our lives, what he's already done, let me say it this way, what he's already done and what he desires to do in our lives. He desires to not just do in a way that impacts us. He desires to do in a way that fills us so full of the love of God that then we go and we give the same thing that's touched us and impacted us and healed us and saved us and set us free and made us whole and made us new. And we go and we give it away to a world that desperately needs to hear and know about Jesus Christ. We're called to be generous. We're called to be givers. We're called to live a lifestyle of giving, a culture of generosity. That's what it's in my heart, and it already exists in our church. So grateful to have stepped in 2 years ago in the fall of 2015 to lead a church, to serve in a church that has such a generous reputation. We give to our community. We give to missions. 10% of everything that you give to this church goes out to support the work of ministry in our city and in our nation and all throughout the world. We give a percentage of that 10% to a fund that takes care of the needs of church members, especially single moms and widows and people that have had difficult situations and circumstances. This is a giving church. God's called us to continue to build on that culture of generosity. Whatever is required to reveal Jesus and build the kingdom of God. So while we understand that this is about so much more than money, I'm really excited about taking a few weeks and talking with you about what God's word has to say about finances. That a culture of generosity does impact and engage in the way that we support our church and the building of God's kingdom with our finances. And so we're gonna, as disciples and followers of Jesus, isn't that who we are and what we're called to be, right? More than just church members, we're not members of an organization, we're disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. Don't we care to know and hear and understand and learn and grasp and embrace what God's word has to say about every area of life? Amen? So my heart in this series is to just help us to either in a new way or in a deeper way. For some of you, it'll be a revelation. For some of you, it'll just be a reminder of something that you're already walking in. For us to go dig into God's word and discover what his word says about how to manage our finances, including how to give generously into God's kingdom. And listen, we need God's heart towards our finances. We need God's heart towards money. We need the blessing of God in this area. And listen, money matters. Money matters. And if you don't think it does, it doesn't take much to just go in and just research some of the primary causes of divorce and find out that there is no stronger indicator, according to many numerous studies, there's no stronger indicator of future divorce than conflict over finances in marriage. And a K-State study, I don't know, some of you are really excited about this, some of you are like, what, you know? A K-State study that was conducted recently, according to Professor Sonia Britt, she said this: arguing about money is the top predictor of divorce. Not one of, but the top predictor of divorce. And she went on to say this: regardless of a couple's income, debt, or net worth, arguments about money are by far the top predictor of divorce. It's not children, it's not sex, it's not in-laws or anything else. It's money for both men and women. Another study, I mean, sometimes I dig in and I have to kind of like go to page 2 or 3 in Google, you know, to find some stuff to kind of back up some things that I'm wanting to underline for you guys. This is one of those that if you just search money as an indicator or a factor in divorce, it's just bam, page one, search one, just study after study after study after study, pointing to the fact that financial stress is a number one indicator of future divorce. Another study that was conducted several years ago by the National Survey of Families and Households. They researched 3,200 couples. So this was not a small sample set. This was a lot of people. And they polled these couples separately. It says they were asked about how often they'd agreed with their spouse over things like chores, in-laws, spending time together, sex, and money. 5 years later, these same respondents were then contacted and asked if they were still married. Of all the common things couples fight about, money disputes was the most likely harbinger of divorce. In other words, those that 5 years later were divorced, the number one factor that contributed to that divorce was determined to be strife over money. So I'm just telling you, we need the blessing of God in the area of finances. We need to understand what God's will and what God's word and what God's heart and what God's ways are regarding the way God's called us to steward and handle the resources that he's put in our life. Another study from Utah State University discovered this. Couples that had weekly occurrences of financial disagreement were 160% more likely to divorce than couples who did not. Listen, just like every area of life, we need the blessing of God in the area of our finances. More than what we think, more than our personal ideas or preferences, what is the will of God? What is found in the Word of God? Listen, the will of God that's found in the Word of God leads to the blessing of God. And unfortunately, just like many areas that are important in life, and that's what I'm trying to underline for you, this is an important area for us to dig into God's Word about. It's a significant area of our life. It has far-reaching impact beyond just your checkbook. It's deeply connected to your relationships and your heart and other things. God wants us to be strengthened in this area. But unfortunately, just like many other areas that are important to life, have power or potential, the enemy brings confusion. He brings controversy in a way that intimidates the church from speaking with clarity and conviction about that area. Just think about it. Anywhere where there's significant promise, where there's potential, where there's power, where there's a promise for in God's kingdom, the enemy, you can always expect him to come and try to hijack that conversation. You can almost always expect him to come and try to, again, bring confusion or controversy over that situation to keep the people of God from speaking with clarity and conviction about what God's heart is regarding that area. Just a couple of examples, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, after making Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, there's no more powerful occurrence than being filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I go away, I'll send the promised comforter, helper, counselor to you, to empower you to fulfill the will of God for your life. But the enemy has brought controversy around this, and he's brought confusion around this in such a way that much of the church kind of stands back and shrinks back from speaking with conviction and clarity about this promise of God. And the same is true about finances. The enemy's brought confusion. The enemy has intimidated the church because of some of the erroneous ways that some people have taught about this, because of some of the excesses in the prosperity message of the gospel that many churches have gotten. Listen, there's a balance that God desires us to strike. How many believe and know poverty is not of God? But in the same way that poverty is not of God and it is not a virtue, and for many years and many centuries, the church has promoted poverty as virtuous. And in many ways, it was because the church was, there was this a power struggle between laity and clergy. And it's time for the church to restore a message that's balanced of saying, poverty is not of God. It is good for you to be blessed of God, but your spiritual maturity is not tied to the kind of car you drive, the size house that you have, or the amount of zeros in your pocketbook or your checkbook. So there's a balance that we must find, and we cannot allow the errors of some churches and denominations or the excesses on this end of other folks to prevent us from pressing in and saying, God, what does your true heart really say about this area of finances? What does your word say about this? We really want to know. We want to be followers and disciples of God. We want to be followers, disciples of Jesus Christ. And we want to not just hear, but we want to do what your word says. And again, the will of God is always found in the word of God. And when the people of God begin to do what the word of God says, the blessing of God always follows. Amen? So, before I get into some of the practical things that we'll get in over the next couple of weeks, I felt the Lord just prompt me to bring a visionary message to our church about the concept of generosity. We're going to get into some things over the next couple weeks. We're going to ask him to show us more about his heart, to give us deeper revelation about some things. I'm going to teach into some things that are real practical, straight from God's word, about what God's word says about about tithing and about managing money and about saving and about storing things up for your children and an inheritance, all the things that God's word speaks to in a desire to help us to know how to be blessed in this area. But before we get into some of those things over the next couple weeks, I felt the Holy Spirit just begin to prompt me to say, speak a visionary message, speak a foundational message into the life of Rev City Church about generosity and kingdom priority. Before we get into some of the nuts and bolts, I just believe God wants to establish an atmosphere for us to receive from some of those practical, specific things that we're going to press into over the next few weeks. And the atmosphere of pressing in and speaking about some of the nuts and bolts of what God has to say about different areas in finances is this atmosphere of kingdom pursuit, kingdom priority, and radical generosity. You see, it grieves my spirit, and I believe that the church has missed the mark when we wrangle and debate about the tithe. When that's kind of the standard of this conversation, is just trying to convince people to tithe, we miss the opportunity to see that the lifestyle that God's really called us to live in as believers is to live this lifestyle of radical generosity that goes way beyond the tithe. And I'm not just talking about the check that you write to your church. I'm talking about seeking first the kingdom of God. I'm talking about becoming a people of God that are so passionate to see the kingdom of God move in the lives of people and move in the city of Lawrence and move in this region from Lawrence to Topeka to Kansas City and every small community in between and move in the United States of America, whom there is still hope for as long as Jesus Christ is alive and well and sitting on the throne at the right hand of God. It's about kingdom priority. It's about kingdom pursuit. It's about this culture of generosity. That's the context. That's the atmosphere for which we can begin to understand and begin to receive and begin to embrace and begin to walk out some of the nuts and bolts of what God says about finances and giving. Listen, and don't get me wrong. You need to hear me. I believe in tithing. Amity and I are tithers. There are powerful principles behind tithing that we're going to get into in the next couple weeks. I mean, powerful spiritual truths. It's not just a random thing that God has commanded and God has instructed us with. There's some powerful spiritual truths about redemption and about sowing our first and our best in a way that the rest is blessed. There's some powerful things that we'll get into about how Jesus was even a type and shadow of God taking the first born of all creation and the best, the pure, the spotless one, and sowing him into the earth in a way that redeemed us, the unclean ones that needed a Savior. So there's some powerful spiritual truths that we want to dig in and begin to understand about tithing and about giving. But before we get into that, I believe God said first, focus on the heart. Because when the heart is positioned correctly, when the heart is prioritizing God's kingdom, when the heart becomes on fire to see the kingdom of God move, when our hearts become so passionate to see the presence of God and the power of God and the principles of God and the promises of God revealed in our lives and flourishing in our church and revealed to our city. That's the kind of context, that's the atmosphere where we can begin to embrace and walk in some of the truths of God regarding giving. Giving is about the heart. Where are you in your Bible? Where'd I have you go? Matthew 10, turn back a few books to Matthew chapter 6. If you got your paper Bible with you, just turn back to the left there a couple books to Matthew chapter 6. And this is Jesus speaking about giving, and he says, in verse 19, he says this, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy." Do we have vermin in Kansas? I think we do. "And where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And going down to verse 24, Jesus continues to speak about this, and he says, "No one can serve two masters." Come on, say no one. "Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, giving is about the heart. And I just want to get into a few things to just establish, because this is the first time as your pastor that I'm speaking to you about money. When we talk about giving, we'll always be talking about your worship towards God. We'll never be talking about the amount that you give. And you'll never, as long as I have anything to say or do with it, and have grace for us if we ever slip up or something like that. But I'm just telling you, the conviction and the concerted effort that we are going to make is that you'll never feel compelled to give in this church. Our focus will be on seeing the fire of God burn in the hearts of men and women and young people as disciples and followers of Jesus Christ in such a way that makes us desire to give and support and build the work of God's kingdom with the resources that he's given us, our time, our talent, and our treasure. That if we focus on the heart, God, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. That if we'll focus on getting people's hearts devoted and fully devoted and sold out and passionate to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we'll focus on leading people so that their hearts become consumed with investing in and building and serving and giving the only thing that has lasting eternal merit, and that's the building of God's kingdom in Jesus Christ. When we get people's hearts alive with that, the resources begin to follow. We'll never compel you. We'll never manipulate you to give. But here's what I also, what I will do as your pastor is I'll present before you a compelling vision for how God can use us to change our community. I'll spend time in the presence of God and asking him to really speak to me and stir faith in my heart for how I as your pastor can come before us, partnering with our elders who work with me to just hear from God and confirm and affirm the vision and direction of our church. To come before you and present to you a compelling vision for how God can use Rev City Church to bring revival back to the nation that is called the United States of America. That I'll come and I'll present to you something that is compelling that will hopefully stir your heart to say, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of seeing God move in the city of Lawrence. I want to see a city that's currently known for certain things become known for some other things. Listen, I think I can go here with you guys on this. I keep seeing this bumper sticker all around town that says LFK. And I finally asked what it stood for, and they told me. And I just got upset in my spirit. I was like, really? That's a label? That's a brand? That's something that's labeled over our city? And right there, the Holy Spirit just said, come on, I've given you a ministry of redemption and reconciliation. You're going to redeem that thing. And I said, all right, every time I see that, I'm going to think Lawrence for the kingdom. Those people don't even know that what they think they're saying is not what they're really saying. They're really proclaiming Lawrence for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And when you begin to see that, come on, just begin to just say, come on, they're already just prophesying. They don't even know. Lawrence for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I believe that the city of Lawrence can be revived. Come on, I believe that God can use this church and other churches who will press in and call upon the name of Jesus Christ and once again return to him to bring revival. Some things that our city is known for right now, there's some other things that God wants to flip the script. He wants to rewrite the history. He's got some other chapters he's yet to write in the history of Lawrence, Kansas. You'll never be compelled or manipulated to give. But I'm telling you, As a servant leader in this place who has the privilege and the honor of sitting before the presence of God and just saying, God, what's your heart for our church? I'm telling you, God's stirring the faith that I have, and God's speaking and stirring the faith in our eldership for the kind of impact that he would desire to use what is now a small group of people in Lawrence, Kansas, to bring revival to the nation, the United States of America. I believe it. Listen, I'll be honest with you. There was a season of time where I was just battling discouragement. Is that okay for me to just be kind of open and transparent with you? I mean, as your pastor, if you require me to be perfect, we're just in for some tough sledding, you know? I was battling a season of discouragement. I was just saying, Lord, why'd you bring me to Lawrence, Kansas? You know, I was just battling discouragement. Like, Lord, what are you up to, you know? Really? I mean, you brought me to Lawrence, Kansas. What are you doing? And quickly, you know how sometimes you can kind of be in a situation and you can spend time, and you should spend time to kind of endeavor to hear God and hear his heart and hear his will. Sometimes it takes time and kind of pressing in. But other times God just quickly just speaks to you and just gets you back on track. And in this moment, I was kind of having this holy pity party, you know. And the Spirit of God just quickly, he just spoke to me and he said, I'm after the heart of the nation, so I'm birthing a revival from the heart of a nation. Just like that. And I said, well, Lord, that's good enough for me. You're after the heart of a nation. And so he called me and he called my family to the heart of the nation. Come on, if you look at the map of the United States of America, there's perhaps no better place that you would pinpoint as the heart of the country than Lawrence, Kansas. LFK, Lawrence for the Kingdom. All right, well, you're already there. Matthew chapter 6. Read on with me. Read on with me in verse 25. Jesus is talking. Come on, what Jesus says matters more than what Pastor T says. And the more of what God's word says and what Jesus says I put in my messages, the more you got to take it up with him if you don't like it. Okay, so he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothes? Hey, listen, he's building to something. There's something he's about to drop on us here, and he's building to it, all right? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? The answer to that is no. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. We're reading on in verse 28. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, don't worry. Come on, look at your other neighbor who was your second choice and say, be happy. Saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So here's what he's building up. It's all building up to this. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things. Come on, look at your other neighbor. Say, all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Can I just tell you, there's two halves to that scripture that are significant. This is how I want us to close this morning. It's really fixing our focus, to go back to another message from a few weeks ago, on seeking first the kingdom of God. To really focus on what he's saying here, seek first. There's an implication here that it doesn't happen by accident. It requires intentionality. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All these things. Listen, there's a promise that's tied up in this message. A lot of pastors oftentimes hammer you with seek first the kingdom of God, but there's a promise. He says all these things, everything he just said that we need and that God knows we need, he says all these things will be added to you. There's a provision when we prioritize the kingdom. God is faithful to provide for us when we prioritize the building of God's kingdom. When we become intentionally focused on saying, God, what you've called me to be about, building your kingdom, revealing your heart, reviving the people of God, to life in Christ, revealing Jesus to our city, that's why we're called Rev City. Focusing on that, focusing on how I do that in every area of my life, my job, my workplace. Listen, you don't have to lay those things down to seek first and build the kingdom of God. He's put you there for a reason. He's given you an assignment. There's a sphere of influence that only you can perhaps reach for the glory of God. We don't have to lay down those things and go to, and it's not a bad thing to do, but you don't have to go to seminary to reveal the kingdom of God. You just have to begin to seek. You just have to begin to say, God, I'm starting to see some things differently. I'm starting to see that job that you've given me, Maybe there is a pathway to another job, but like you hear me say often, the pathway to the new, the next, and the more of God is always faithfulness with the now of God. That job that you've put me in, those coworkers that you've given me, I'm beginning to see it differently, and I'm beginning to seek how you would use me to reveal the kingdom of God in that place. I'm beginning to understand that everything else that I put my hands to, everything else that I build, that's what he's saying. Don't store up for yourselves treasure in places where it decays and where it can be stolen and where the moths can eat it and the coyotes can drag it off. He says, store it up in a place where it has a lasting impact and eternal difference. And we begin to realize that the only thing that really has that kind of merit is building the kingdom of God in the hearts of people. And we begin to live that life. And here's what God does. He takes care of every other thing that you need. He takes care of every other thing that you need. There's a provision. Yeah, come on. If someone's going to lead us, clap like you mean it. There's a provision for God when we begin to seek and build the kingdom of God. Worship team, would you come up here and prepare to dismiss us? And I just want to, again, before we get into some things, the Lord just told me, he just spoke to my heart, and he said, bring a foundational message, bring a visionary message that will help to establish and deepen the culture of generosity and faith for how I desire to use this church to build the kingdom of God. Focus on the heart. Focus on calling people to understand that I'm calling you to something significant and that there really is a promise in Matthew 6:33. As we seek that first in every area of our life, God's going to faithfully provide for you in every area that you have need. And so this morning as we close, I want to just give you the opportunity and the space for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. What has had your attention in an equal or greater way than building God's kingdom? What has drawn your focus away from the call of God upon your life to be a reflection of Jesus in every place that God's placed you and called you to? Let me just ask you to do this. Stand to your feet. Let's respond to God and let's prepare to worship this morning. And I want to just ask you to ask the Lord. Say, Lord, what are you speaking to me through this? Right there where you are. Every one of our situations and circumstances is different. I mean, there's a lot of things that we're up against that are common struggles and battles, and things in marriage, things in finances, things in our workplace. But every situation, every circumstance is different. I want you to just stand in the presence of the Lord today. Just say, Lord, what are you speaking to me? And that's a specific question that I felt like the Holy Spirit would have me to ask of you. What things, what cares of the world, what has been stealing your focus and your attention away from the call to seek first the kingdom of God in your own life? Because many of us, we allow the enemy to put the focus on the lack that we have. When we think about praying and seeking God, we think about, we need this, I need this, God do this, God show up, God pay this, God whatever. And I believe that God's calling us one step back to the first half of that scripture, and he's saying, what has kept you from just seeking me first and trusting me and in the process and midst of building my kingdom with your life, understanding that I'm going to meet every need, I'm going to fulfill every desire, I'm a faithful God. And when when we begin to seek first, when we begin to press in, when we truly embrace the call to be a church that's passionate about seeing people encounter the presence of God in a way that brings about the power of God to heal and set people free and make them whole, and we begin to declare and hold up high the promises of God and the faithfulness of God in such a way that allows people to begin to inherit and walk in the promises of God. When we live that life, I'm just telling you, I believe he's going to meet every need that this church has. He's going to meet every need that every church member has. He's a faithful God. The Bible says that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns everything. He doesn't need our money. He's after our hearts. He doesn't need our money. He's after our hearts. And when our hearts become sold out to him in such a way that realigns and reestablishes the priority of our lives, man, it positions us to walk in the blessing of God. God, what's your will for our life? What's your word have to say about these things? And as we embrace it, God, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, that as we're faithful to do our part to seek out your and build your kingdom and seek out your heart and your word and your will, you're going to be faithful to do what we cannot do. You're going to meet our needs. You're going to provide what we need to build your kingdom. What is it that has stolen your focus? For some of us, maybe it's money itself, the pursuit of riches. And listen, God wants you to be blessed. But he wants you to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. And the blessing of God, the Bible says, comes to you in a way that adds no sorrow to it. And many of us, when we focus just on money, we might even obtain it, but we sacrifice our health, we sacrifice our marriage, we lay down our family on the altar of success. And today, I think God just would want to come and just kind of realign and say, I want you to be blessed, but I want you to begin to do it my way. And my way is by seeking first the kingdom of God and the building of my kingdom. And when you begin to do that in a new way, in a more dedicated way, in a way that has fresh focus, I'm going to come and I'm going to meet every need that you have. Now, some of you this morning, you might have some real pressing needs in your life. And I just want you to I believe that the Holy Spirit would have us just submit and surrender those things before the Lord this morning. And so I want to ask you to just do something in faith. Would you just lift your hands, if that's you today, to God? Whatever those things are that are pressing needs in your life, your health, your finances, your family, your relationship, your need for a new job or a promotion, something that you've just been desperately needing to see God move in your life, would you just open your hands before God and just present it to him today? Just say, Lord, I believe that the Lord would even have us to, in some ways, repent for focusing too intently on the need instead of on the source. God, we hold these things before you, and we hold them lightly today. And Lord, we thank you, God, for just refixing our focus away from our needs and our wants, God, and onto you as our provider and our source. Thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, that in this season, Lord, especially in this series, in this season where we're pressing in to discover your heart and your word and your will about this, God, I thank you that there are going to be many testimonies of kingdom breakthrough. As you realign and reprioritize our focus and our heart towards your kingdom, God, I thank you, God, that you're going to meet needs, you're going to bring about provision, you're going to do miracles in people's lives, God, because you're so faithful and you're so good. Come on, church, he desires to do it. He's just after our hearts. And when we get our hearts realigned to his kingdom purposes, it just positions us for him to begin to pour out his blessings and his provision. Amen. Lastly, before we close with praise, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the generosity of the Father. He sent Jesus. He loved you so much, he gave his only son to pay the price that you and I could not pay for the penalty of our sin and our guilt and our shame, to make a way that we could be healed and made whole and restored to a relationship with the Heavenly Father who loves us so much that he couldn't stand eternity without you. He sent, he gave, he generously sowed the perfect one, the blameless one, the spotless one, the first one, Jesus, to come and pay the price so that you could be restored to your Heavenly Father. And if that's you this morning, the most important thing we do today is give you the opportunity to respond to that gracious, generous gift in faith today. It's not by your own works. It's not because you make a commitment to give to the church. It's because you respond in faith to receive the gift of God that is Jesus Christ. And if that's you this morning, I'm not going to put you on the spot. All I want you to do is just respond to God. You're not responding to me. You're responding to God, but just lift your hand high in the air and just say, that's me. I'm responding to the gracious gift of God. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you, Father, for these hearts that are turning to you, Lord, in faith to receive the gift of the Father that is Jesus Christ. And now I want us to just join together with these precious hands, many beautiful hands going up in the room this morning. And we're your church family. And so we're going to join with you in declaring this over our lives today. Would you repeat after me? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. I thank you for a generous Father who loved me so much. He gave his only Son. I believe in Jesus. I receive in faith the price paid for my sin. I thank you, Father, for a new life. I thank you, Lord,
for a future and a hope that I have in you. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I put my trust in you. In Jesus' mighty name and all God's precious people, come on, said with a shout of praise.